There is nothing wrong with your internet. Do not attempt to adjust your settings. We are controlling the podcast. We control the squealing and the screams. We can make your heart flutter, your eyes blur from tears, or sharpen your mind to crystal clarity. For the next hour, sit back. We are in control of what you hear. We repeat, there is nothing wrong with your settings. You are about to experience the awe and mystery known as the female mind. You are now entering the Fangirl Zone.
Welcome to Sci-Fi Talk on the Fangirl Zone, a podcast where we discuss shows on the Sci-Fi Channel. I am Sean Fangirl-ass.
And I'm Steve, and today we'll be discussing episode 5 of season 2 of Surreal Estate.
We're jumping ahead. We're like, yeah. We're talking about season 25.
We do have little rating information. This episode had 141,000 viewers. Come on, real estaters.
Yeah, I know. It's so strange. I don't know, because we know that like it's got a really decent following. Do you think everybody's like a lot of it, like I've said before, waiting till the end of the season because we've been seeing so many different shows get canceled, and so a lot of people now wait.
I think so.
Sad.
Yes,
I don't want
it
that
is.
To happen though.
It's nope. Good. All right, episode 5, Arts and Science. Luke must improvise when a client's home traps her inside. August pays a visit to his past.
We get to open with Aurora, a painting in her home at night. She talks on the phone to somebody about canceling the movers because she didn't trust them with her canvases. I mean, what artist ever really does, right?
Right.
Suddenly, her painting moves from the easel to the floor, seemingly of its own volition. Then Aurora looks behind her and spots her other painting atop the kitchen counter, stacked like a house of cards. This looks like some ghostly shit for real. It wasn't like that moments ago.
Nope.
I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to have like a poltergeist thing.
Yep.
Later, we see Luke barreling into the Roman agency while on the phone. He's been a busy bee since Susan's been gone and currently living inside her walls, which he does not know this, but.
No.
As it turns out, Luke's trying to coordinate a meeting with Zoe, who enters the office with Phil in tow. Luke informs the pair that Susan is taking leave of absence. She told him this the night before. Dude, you weren't talking to Susan.
Nope.
Oh, no. And it gets so creepy when that was happening. It's like, how do you not know? There's got to be something. Come on.
Yes.
Phil tells Luke that August is at Aurora's house with his gadgets, checking for anything suspicious on the supernatural front. And Luke decides to head over and introduce himself at Aurora's home, which is nestled in an envy-inducing location. I mean, seriously, I can only imagine how much that's going for. Luke asks August for an update. Augie claims he senses there's something amiss, but nothing official yet. It doesn't help that they're next to the water. I'm sure that's making everything go a little haywire.
Yep.
He asks Luke if he can take the day off. He wouldn't request it if it weren't important. And I don't think Augie needed to even say that much. Just be like, I need to be off. All right.
Right.
Of course, Luke's going to grant his request. Next, Luke introduces himself to Aurora. She gives him the lowdown regarding her situation. Then she shows him the painting she was working on. A mysterious someone wrote, "It's time," in red paint. Again, very poltergeist, creepy, I'm not sure I want to be here when they figure it out kind of thing.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Augie parks his motorcycle in front of Azdra, a squeaky-looking company, and he goes in and meets Rochelle. But can we stop for a second? Augie's riding a motorcycle?
Yeah.
Excuse me? Was not expecting that.
Nope.
So he meets Rochelle, the woman who's been trying to contact him for weeks, and we learn they used to work together. Azdra is a defense and technology development agency, and it's now the most prolific of its kind in North America. So why is Augie revisiting his past? Especially when things didn't end so well. Excuse me? Not through work, but between him and Rochelle? Oh, really, Augie?
Yes.
Do tell.
Yeah.
I was like, and they don't give us too much more on that, which made me kind of sad. So it's like, what are we having happen? I'm like, I don't think they were married. I mean, it didn't seem anything close to that, or
No.
I wasn't sure if the dating was even really on the horizon there, but I don't know. Rochelle informs him that Project Airbuster, a program Augie created back in the day, well, is back. What do you mean it's back?
Yeah.
Did he delete it and it recreated itself? Well, it gets weirder because it wants to talk to Augie. Wow. Okay, AI at its finest.
Yep.
Airbuster is an algorithm designed to retrieve info that Augie modified to gather data from, quote unquote, the other side. Again, how is an algorithm doing that? It's very strange.
Yes.
Augie and Rochelle chat about what would have happened had Augie stayed and how far Astra has gone or could have gone without government interference. Again, giant question mark above my head as to what that meant.
Yeah. Well, then Augie inputs the password. Suddenly, an alarm blares. Rochelle notes that Airbuster is deleting its data and core program. That can't be good. It's $6.8 billion worth of data, to be precise, and it's irreplaceable. Augie realizes Airbuster wants the password he buried in its original code to ensure it's him.
Interesting.
The backdoor password. Thankfully, once he logs in, the server deletion ceases. Meanwhile, Aurora tells Luke that the house started misbehaving after she put it up for sale. After she sells it, she's returning to New York to take her career to the next level. She urges Luke to call the movers so they can blow this popsicle stand. Yeah, just ignore the haunted home.
Right? That always works out great.
Yes, later Phil gives Luke files on Aurora's house. Well, we only see about 10% of said files. This house has a lengthy history. Surprise, surprise. Luke urges Phil to retrieve the rest because Aurora's life depends on it. Zoe deals with a trying client over the phone with her trademark sarcasm. Oh, she was so good at this.
I love Zoe.
Yeah, after hanging up, she and Phil find their phones blowing up with an avalanche of texts from Susan. It's her whole database, every listing. Well, we know it's really her house doing the texting.
I thought that was weird how Zoe didn't realize this is not Susan.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, this wouldn't be something she's doing.
No. At the same time, Aurora discovers a new kind of horror in her bathroom. When she closes the cabinet mirror, she notices her reflection has no facial features. Say what?
Yeah, that'll freak you out. Huh?
Yeah, she looks like a blank canvas. Then Luke helps the movers pack Aurora's belongings, including a fancy painting that came with the house. Aurora reveals a troubled time in her life before moving into her home. She had an abusive ex-boyfriend who made her feel worthless. When she arrived here, she felt her creativity ignite. Aurora was painting out on the wazoo and saw her talent flourish.
Well, that's good. I mean, get rid of the bad relationship, but it does seem like maybe more than just that.
Yeah, Luke offers words of encouragement. Later, Augie and Rochelle encounter another stumbling block while trying to gain access to Airbuster. We see the text, "Interface not detected," on its screen. Augie believes Airbuster wants to communicate with him directly. I don't know if that's a good idea.
That's what I was, like, really afraid. And I'm like, come on, Augie, you know everything that goes on. And you're like, maybe I should just do this. No, don't do this. Don't be reckless.
Yeah. After some calculations, the pair decides the only option for a lossless transfer is a direct download, meaning Airbuster will download its files into Augie himself.
That doesn't sound safe.
No, it doesn't. Meanwhile, Luke tries to leave Aurora's house, but the door shuts before he crosses the threshold. He inadvertently pulls the doorknob off, too.
Yeah, again, this is not a good thing that's happening.
No. We're looking at two of our leads being in a bit of a pickle.
Yes, very bad position. Mysterious forces then throw Aurora into another room and against the wall. It lifts her into the air, and Luke's attempting to pull her towards the ground as said force throws Aurora's paint supplies at them, with eerie words ordering, "Finish her." very Mortal Kombat-ish. I'm just going to throw that out. Once the ghostly storm passes, Aurora and Luke discover the word "now" written in red paint on a blank canvas. Damn, this ghost is demanding. Luke notices,
yes, it is.
Luke's noticing that this probably isn't great. And he also said the horse painting he packed earlier is back on the counter. So that's a little weird. Next, Luke calls Phil, who reveals that an artist named Thomas Warner lived there with his wife. He couldn't get his art career off the ground, but he died rich and happy. Aurora washes the paint off her hands and finds more text on the mirror stating, "Finish her." Luke is searching for Aurora to relay what he learned from Phil. However, she seems nowhere to be found. And I got really worried that she got pulled into a mirror or something.
Yeah.
However, that's not what happened. She is on the very top floor. And of course, electricity goes out, making it extra spooky. Luke spots Aurora standing in a dark room. Again, all sorts of horror movie vibes.
Yes.
She whirls towards him, clearly possessed by the ghost. Blood tears start spilling from her eyes before she returns to herself. I was like, they're getting really spooky. I mean, I love the vibes, but oh my gosh.
Yes. One of the spookier episodes of this season.
Yes. Like I said, I was loving the vibe, but it's like, oh gosh, what's happening? Meanwhile, Rochelle puts special glasses on Augie's face before the download from Airbuster begins. Again, he's like downloading it right into his head like Johnny Mnemonic. This is bad.
Right.
Once the download completes, is Augie going to be alive with everything? Is he not? Is it going to suck him into like a computer world?
Right. Going to blow his head up with too much information downloaded into it?
Right. I was like, oh my gosh, there's too much going on. It's stressing me out. However, the download does complete and Augie returns to the real world, looking, well, for lack of a better word, flabbergasted.
Yeah. Overwhelmed, I would use.
I was thinking it wasn't even him, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, it gave you that feeling like whatever kind somehow, like, took him over.
Right.
And I was like, oh, man, this is just not what I was hoping was going to happen. I mean, obviously, a lot does, which we're getting to. But
yeah,
that's the feeling I had. Rochelle asks Augie what he saw, and he claims he saw nothing and everything. What comes after life? How it all looks through a thing that lives forever without truly living. He learned they must keep their eyes forward and not focus so much on death. That's all very profound and still, as Augie can be, worried me still.
Yes.
But we get to go back with Luke telling Aurora he knows someone in this house is hurting. The only way he can communicate with them is through Aurora. Of course, it'll be challenging without his gifts and interesting to see how they're going to work that out.
Yeah.
We go back and we see Rochelle offering Augie a position at Astra, and he declines that offer. He'd probably be making a heck of a lot more money, though.
Oh, yeah.
However, he would love to take her to the diner down the street. Apparently, they used to frequent that way back in the day.
Yes.
We get to see Luke urging Aurora to draw freestyle as a gateway through which the spirit can enter her. Once it does, the voice returns, essentially rattling off the same lines as before. But when the ghost leaves Aurora this time, she and Luke notice the drawings on the floor. They combine to make a massive sketch of a woman. She's the same woman Aurora has been drawing since she first moved into this house. Then Luke and Aurora find another painting concealed inside that horse artwork. It's a woman without a face. They learn that Thomas Warner's wife was the true artist, and she died without anyone knowing it. She was very talented. So she's the one asking Aurora to finish her, meaning complete her art so she can display it in the fancy New York art gallery and finally be seen. After Luke departs, Aurora does as she's bid, and she finishes the painting. Meanwhile, Luke receives a letter of resignation from Susan, which we hear read in her voice. The house types it for her and ensures it's mailed to the Roman agency. Luke doesn't accept her resignation, though. He texts her, "You're not quitting," to which the house responds on her behalf that she is, ending the conversation with toodles. The camera pans to Susan's phone beside her bed, where she is nowhere to be found. And I'm like, come on, there's got to be something in all of this when you stop and look that you realize is very different and not Susan.
Yeah.
And it was just making me so mad that nobody was getting it. And nobody figured, that doesn't sound like her at all. Like, come on.
Exactly.
I know you all haven't known her very long, but you know more than, oh, yeah, I'm just going to do this. No big deal.
Right.
Will the gang ever realize that Susan's trapped in her house? Will Luke find someone to replace Susan? Is Augie on the precipice of finding love? Only time and more episodes will tell.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on each and every episode this season. Our deadline for feedback is 6 p.m. Eastern every Friday during the season. You can send your feedback via email or audio to contact us at fangirlzone.com. Please review and rate us on iTunes and any other platform you use for your podcast. With good ratings and reviews, it helps other fans of the show find us, as there are a few other real estate podcasts out there. Tell your friends, and we hope you're enjoying our podcast. And don't forget to check out the other great Fangirl Zone podcasts.
You can check us out at www.fangirlzone.com, and we have our contacts page there as well with all of our awesome ways to contact us, all of our hosts, which there are some that join us here and there. Obviously, you know, this is Steve and I, so you can pretty much find us everywhere. So for this episode of Sci-Fi Talk,
I'm Steve. Once we love and laugh and dance, withheld our root passwords from one another.
And I'm Sean Fangirl S. And until next time.